welcome listeners to another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. It's the 18th of October. So we have a terrorist threat in a tunnel in Baltimore, apparently. We have a dam about to burst in Massachusetts. We have Hurricane Wilma coming at Florida again. It was disclosed, apparently, according to one of my sources, that on another talk show it was exposed the fact that Mr. Chertoff has closed the borders. Closed the borders. Amazing. After all these months of open borders, he's closed the borders. And they're going to deport everyone. All the illegal aliens will be deported. Isn't that amazing after all these years and months of semi-open borders? Very, very remarkable to see that this is finally being done. However, what is the reason for holding off so long in doing this? And why are they doing it now when it's too late? For all intents and purposes, it's too late. And then you have H.R. 3333, which Vicky's been doing research on, and maybe she'll call in today with more of her research, where a data bank will be put in place for foreign workers. I believe that was the case last week that we talked about that. And maybe she'll have more updates on this. But the borders, according to a certain talk show host, they've been closed down after all this time of semi-open borders. And once again, human rights treaties, implementation of human rights treaties, Executive Order 13107. That's what it is, implementation of human rights treaties. And there's countless amount of human rights treaties. I can't exactly count how many. Here we see a New York City bridge is on fire. And I don't know the legitimacy of that information, listeners. But the point is, we're seeing all sorts of different things happening, keeping these news readers busy. And then we see a California thunderstorm triggers mudslides. From the Washington Post, warming to cause harsher weather. Warming, meaning global warming, I'm sure. I haven't looked at this article yet. But tremendous information. Once again on the website, AmericanExpose.com. You must email Dennis and thank him for his work. It's boy, I'll tell you. With Dennis and his sources that he's working with, there's so much information here. I'm just absolutely overjoyed is a good word. Here we see a full coverage of tropical storms and hurricanes. We see Tropical Storm Wilma is upgraded to hurricane. I'm seeing it right now on one of the stations and with the sound off where they're talking about warming and Hurricane Wilma, and how it's going to increase to a level 3. So here we have all this going on, and yet the borders are being closed. Now, Serge Manasse wrote a book, United Nations Concentration Camps Program in America, and in there I remember some kind of circumstance, and I'll talk about this on the other side of the commercial pause for the free enterprise cause. Stay with us. Broadcast. Well, President Bush is to sign the DHS Appropriations Act, which is going to strengthen border security. After all these months of this situation and all the common sense down the drain from that situation of all these months of open borders, now they're going to react on them. It's just, I'm absolutely speechless. How can we be so stupid to accept these directions? that comes so late? And where is the chaos going to come from now with this going on? I was searching Serge Manasse's book, Dictatorial Power, anytime. Before I do that, though, I want to stress something else. And where did I put the book? Oh, here it is. The Global Straitjacket by Joan Vion. Vital information. In the back, she talks about, in the glossary, the perceived global components of world government. And they talk about the Bank for International Settlements out of Basel, Switzerland. It's the central bank's bank. Then you have the Group of Ten, the Group of Seven plus Switzerland, Holland, Sweden, and Belgium. That comprises the major money centers of the world. The Group of Seven, United States, Britain, Canada, France, Italy, Germany, Japan, and now Russia. And the United Nations, and they are countries left after the G7, G10, which are called the G77, comprised of 122 of the remaining countries and considered developing countries. Keep in mind, this book was written in 1999. You have the four pillars of the UN agenda for implementing world government. Four pillars: environmental, economic, social, military, and political. That's the four pillars of the UN agenda for implementing world government: environmental, economic, social, military, and political. Environmental is the implementing of the Agenda 21 plans for the environment based on environmental conferences in 1972 and 1992. The UN Conference on the Environmental Development in Rio de Janeiro in 1992 established the UN Commission on Sustainable Development, agreed for a bold mandate for change to recognize Western civilization. Keep in mind all this as the borders are closing around us. A number of non-legally binding agreements were signed for all types of forest, desertification, and climate change, along with biological diversity around nature. In the future, all personal property rights will change to conform with the environment. In other words, if you have an endangered species on your farm, you cannot farm your property. All rights are restricted to the government. Then you move to sustainable development, which is the concept developed basically says that there are too many people on the planet and that the population of the world must be reduced in order to have enough resources for future populations. The UN should be the global custodian of the earth and all its resources. This is not new news to many of you. This means that we will be measured by how much we produce, and how much we consume, as found in the family dependency ratio, listeners. That's the family dependency ratio. Every person will be valued according to their usefulness. In addition, the UN will control the Earth's resources, energy, water, food, and so on. The concept of sustainable development can be found in the Communist Manifesto and the 1977 Constitution of the Soviet Union or the USSR. So then we deal with part of Agenda 21 is biodiversity. That's biodiversity, which is a phrase coined to describe the variety of genes, species, and ecosystems found on our planet. It embraces all life forms from plant and animal life to microorganisms and the water, land, and air in which we live and interact. Al Gore wrote in his book, Earth in the Balance, quote, "We must make the rescue of the environment the central organizing principle for civilization. Use every policy and program, every law and institution, every treaty and alliance, every tactic and strategy, every plan and course of action to halt the destruction of the environment and to preserve our ecological system," end quote. It moved, this biodiversity treaty moved 50% of the surface of America into protected ecosystems. There are already 47 biospheres in the U.S., occupying over 43.5 million acres of land. The Senate did not ratify the U.N. Biodiversity Treaty, but under executive order by Bill Clinton and company, they set up the President's Commission on Sustainable Development, which is in the process of implementing the U.N. Biodiversity Treaty. Now, here is the point. Written in paper, or written in a book, by Joan Vion, this is the point of the concern that I have. This treaty will move human beings by 2025 into protected islands in which they will not be able to get out or move from. These islands will be surrounded by corridors and buffer zones. There is the point, and the reason I've been so adamant about A21. This treaty will move human beings by 2025. That's 20 years, listeners. This is why we're having these weather anomalies. This is why we're having the wars and environmental modification. The Biodiversity Treaty will move human beings by 2025 into protected islands in which they will not be able to get out or move from. These islands will be surrounded by corridors and buffer zones. There are many laws which are being passed and are moving, bit by bit, thousands of acres into protected wildlife, heritage, and ecosystems. And there it is. This is the concern that everyone should have at this point. We should completely be tuned into this, as now the borders are closing. Well, what does that mean ultimately for us? I seem to remember in Serge Manasseh's book there was something called Trojan Horse. And I can't find it yet. But under the guise of Operation Trojan Horse, they would come and get the illegal aliens. In the meantime, as well, they will get those that, according to Robert Mueller, are still a problem today. And this is on our website. What did he say? The right-wing patriot movement remains a continuing threat in America today. That's cut down. Let's get to the real source of this information, because this should concern everyone, and you should be more tuned into this and researching and spreading the word, because the website AmericanExpose.com doesn't dally in illusion. And there is the point. We aren't playing a game here. This is not fun. It's not enjoyable. And someone has contacted someone else, and I believe this is Joan Vion that's being contacted, quite a long time ago in 2000. The question on the census basically provide our government with the information which is required in order for them to determine the family dependency ratio formula, which basically is looking to determine how much of the Earth's resources the average family is using and whether or not they are adding back to the Earth's resources. And she said, I write about this in great detail in her book, Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince. The family dependency ratio is from the Beijing document, and it only appeared once. What the IMF / World Bank is trying to determine is how much of the Earth's resources, food, water, oil, energy, clothing, etc., the average family uses, and then it is trying to come up with a formula to determine how much it is producing. For example, if mom and dad work, they produce. If they clean house, that is part of production. If they volunteer in the community, that is part of producing. But if they lay on the couch, they're not producing. They will then add up all the ways in which mom and dad produce and then deduct how much they consume, how much water, meaning the water bill, how much electric and the electrical bill, how much they buy and spend, which is various charge cards, plastic, to determine if they are adding back to the Earth's resources or subtracting from the Earth's resources. And what happens if they are subtracting from the Earth's resources? Now, this is the point. So we have congressional testimony of Robert Mueller III. We've covered this before, dated February 16th, 2005. And you get to page 10. I'll get to page 10 on the other side of the commercial pause. These situations are very ominous to me, as we have another hurricane, and then we have crisis and recovery of Hurricane Katrina, which is ominous in itself. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. Pertinent questions, 800-313-9443. To the broadcast. As I was talking yesterday, Sunday's edition of the Oklahoman is enough to occupy an entire show. And I did not get anywhere near covering the entire front section of the Oklahoman yesterday. But certainly we see here more hurricanes possible before the end of November. And they say with 2 months left in the Atlantic hurricane season, forecasters warn that another devastating storm could hit the U.S. this year. And is this Wilma that we're dealing with right now? Who knows? But they continue with these directions. Now, back to this Operation Trojan Horse, which I can't get to the bottom of yet. I remember reading about it earlier. But and then the Louis Farrakhan March, the Million More March, which keep in mind, Martin Luther King, I don't give him the doctor prefix. Martin Luther King was influenced by communists back in the 1957. He was photographed with communist strategist. And so Martin Luther King had the influence of communists behind him. Louis Farrakhan apparently is a vehement, hateful communist instigator. And so this is going on pretty distressingly, as well as when Jeff called in about this this riotous situation in Toledo, Ohio, which is in the paper here on another page. We go back to Robert Mueller talking before Congress, and then we see this Harriet Mears being the new Chief Justice, apparently. She's not going to be any good. Anybody that George Bush wants will not be a constitutionalist. They will be a communitarian. That's the bottom line. Anyone George Bush wants, anyone Al Gore would have wanted, anyone John Kerry would have wanted, they'll be communitarians, not constitutionalists. And that's where we are today, listeners. Anyway, back to Robert Mueller, and I'm sorry I'm moving around so much, but at this day and time, you have no choice but to move around all over the place. U.S.-based black separatist groups follow radical variants of Islam, and in some cases express solidarity with Al-Qaeda and other international terrorist groups. Incidents of organized white separatist group violence decreased in 2004. This is due to several high-profile law enforcement arrests over the last several years, as well as the continued fragmentation of white supremacist groups because of the deaths or the arrests of leaders. We judge that violence on the part of white supremacists remains an ongoing threat to government targets, Jewish individuals and establishments, and non-white ethnic groups. However, the right-wing patriot movement consisting of militias, common law courts, tax protesters, and other anti-government extremists remains a continuing threat in America today. Sporadic incidents resulting in direct clashes with law enforcement are possible and will most likely involve state and local law enforcement personnel, such as highway patrol officers and sheriff's deputies, potential violent anti-abortion extremists linked to terrorism ideologies, or groups pose a current threat. The administration, the admiration of violent high-profile offenders by extremists highlight continued concerns relating to potential or similar anti-abortion threat activity. So this is done at the beginning of this year in January. Robert Mueller before Congress or the Senate. Either way, either one. This terrorist flag is a guise to control all. Now that we have this border situation, what are we going to do with that? But we get back into the situation with the UN system and where it is today. I covered the environmental, which is Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, the Biodiversity Treaty, the President's Commission on Sustainable Development, where it states this treaty will move human beings by 2025 into protected areas in which they will not be able to get out or move from. These islands will be surrounded by corridors and buffer zones. This is why it's so important to expose environmental modification. So now we deal with the social aspects of the situation. And once again, what is it? Environmental, economic, social, and military slash political control. So now we're in social. The population reduction meeting in Cairo in September 1994, the UN passed a very large program of action to reduce the population in the world through family planning clinics and education under the auspices of International Planned Parenthood, one of their eminent grassroots organizations, Planned Parenthood. The women from the third world complained that all they could get from these clinics were condoms, not even aspirin. Then you have the social summit in Copenhagen on March 1995. The social summit from Copenhagen, March of 1995. We'll continue with this direction. The fourth women's conference in Beijing, and then the Habitat 2 conference in Istanbul, and then the food conference in Rome. We'll be back to continue with all this that's going on around us today. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. It is American Exposé. Lots of tremendous information on our website. But let me get through this social end, and I'll take some phone calls of this UN system. We covered the population reduction meeting in Cairo in September 1994, then the social summit in Copenhagen in March 1995 was held under the guise of eliminating hunger, poverty, and social disintegration. However, the real agenda was a world tax for the UN. This is still a goal, to find a source of funding which is unlimited so that they do not have to rely on contributions from member states. The member states, member countries, they all call the countries states at the UN system. Also, they recommended changes to the IMF and are pushing for their own voluntary army. These are goals that they have been working toward basically since their inception in 1945. That was the social summit in Copenhagen in March 1995. Then we had the fourth women's conference, Beijing, of September 1995. All this information coming from the Global Straitjacket by Joan Vion, listeners. This conference, while wanting to change the definition of family to include homosexuality, had a hidden agenda under the feminine rhetoric, and that is the replacement of national laws with those of international law and sustainable development economics, which would measure the production and consumption of every person in the world. Hillary Clinton has a women's commission at the White House in which they are advancing the Beijing agenda in the U.S. And keep in mind, this book was written, The Global Straitjacket, in 1999. Then you have the Habitat 2 conference from Istanbul, and that was June of 1996. This conference did much to show the extent of the U.N. agenda. Instead of the heads of governments making their speeches to the UN, it was the ministerial level of every government which presented their goals on how They were going to conform with Habitat. The Habitat agenda clearly and emphatically states that, quote, personal property rights adds to injustice, end quote, and that they must be changed for the good of the public. These mayors from the U.S. cities were on the U.S. delegation. Kurt Scamacki from Baltimore said that he saw the participation of the grassroots level in the direct U.N. process as, quote, new wave of the future, end quote. That was the Habitat 2 conference in Istanbul in June of 1996. That was quite a long time ago, listeners, just about 10 years ago. Then you have the food conference in Rome on November of 1996. And this conference, like others held before it in the 1950s and 1970s, is last in a series of mega conferences in which the UN was going after the definition of family and population control, not to mention trying to control the food supply in the world. This conference, along with the previous ones that we've covered, is part of the overall push for world governance through the UN, negating, in our case, the U.S. Constitution, and bypassing the Senate. International law is comprised of the consensus obtained at these conferences. So that is under the social system. Once again, you have environmental, economic, social, military, and political. We'll cover the military and political after we take a few phone calls. Let's move to the phones. Let's take Paul in Florida. Hello, Paul. How are you today?
Oh, I'm just sitting here anticipating the hurricane in the soon-to-be very windy Fort Lauderdale area.
When is that about to hit?
Well, as far as they can project, the
Saturday?
Latest I got was maybe on Sunday. Now, it's going to come in. My guess is it's either going to be a high Category 1 or a Category 2. There's a dip in the jet stream that's supposed to occur later on in the week that is supposed to push the storm more to the northeast and bring it in right around the southwest tip of the peninsula and move it up to the northeast. Right now, their projected cone of probability is anywhere between coming in by Key West all the way up to the Melbourne Palm Bay area. But it's too early to tell. But the reason I called was...
Wait a minute. Before you go any further, how long have you lived in Florida?
Since 1981.
And what kind of preparations have you made over those years?
Well, what I do is I start preparing for hurricane season in April. I'm not one of these people who waits, 6 hours before it's supposed to hit. Okay, we've I live alone, but I have enough food here for about 2 months. I've got some Sterno, and I've got plenty of batteries, and it's a concrete house.
There you go, a concrete house.
Yeah, a concrete house.
Yep.
And, I like I said, you have to start down here around April, okay? And you can go to Publix and get one of these hurricane tracker maps, and on the back of the map, you'll see all the things that you're supposed to have, drugs if you need it, medicine, first aid kit, plenty of drinking water, which I have. I've got about 3 cases of drinking water in my closet. We usually don't lose water down here. But, people need to, not depend on the government, to help them out. You got to think ahead, use your head. Don't do anything stupid like out right after the storm because there's wires hanging in puddles. Use your head, common sense. But the reason I called was because last night on George Norrie's First Hour, had Richard Hoagland on, and he is also involved in this weather manipulation issue. And it was his contention that there was some kind of a signal coming from, of all places, Honduras, that was trying to diminish the intensity of this storm. And he might be on again in George's First Hour. When the First Hour there is pretty good because he does news much like you do, and the rest of the show, depending on the guest, is sometimes, fluff and foolishness, sometimes serious.
Or lots of commercials, as usual.
Oh, yeah, well, it's a commercial enterprise, so that's, what are you going to do? You got to pay the rent. Mm-hmm. But would you mind if I gave out the website for this guy who was on?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay, his name is Richard Hoagland. He has extensive, has a scientific background. He used to work for NASA, and he also used to be Walter Cronkite's personal science advisor. His website is enterprisemission.com, and all the information relating to what I just said is on that website, and the techniques that are allegedly being used are all explained there. So that I guess the layman who doesn't have scientific background would understand it. But it's his intention that somebody's trying to crank this thing up, and probably us being supposedly the good guys are trying to diminish this thing or at least steer it to the northeast where it won't hit the Gulf Coast again. Because if it does, if they get a third one up there, I mean, that is going to be that's going to be rough. But if you send it over Florida here, we don't have any oil refineries offshore or oil drilling rigs offshore. We don't have any refineries down here, you know. So there's nothing really anything that would disrupt an infrastructure on a national basis if the thing went through here. It would just be a nuisance more than anything
else. So after all these years of having hurricanes, you've experienced many and you're –
No, actually not many. Now, if you notice in the Fort Lauderdale area, the last really bad one we had down here was in 1992, and I was working as a park ranger down here at the time in southern Palm Beach County, and that was the last really, really bad one that we had. But actually, given our geographic location, most of the hurricanes twist north before they get to the peninsula or else go into the Gulf, as we've seen this year. And considering our geographic location down here, we don't really get all that many, to tell you the truth. Like I said, Andrew, in southern Palm Beach County, we had hardly any damage whatsoever. And that was a very small, tight storm that came in on the south part of Dade County. Of course, that devastated Kendall, Cutler Ridge, and Homestead. But, you know, I just thought I'd call you up and run that by about Richard Hoagland's website. It's
okay.
Interesting. It might be something to it. Maybe it's all, you know, I don't know.
I understand.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. But anyway,
your
I'll keep you posted on the storm down here. We might even start to get some of it Friday. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Paul. We have a nation at risk, imperative to halt reform from channeling reality, and we'll be covering that. Well, let's just plan on covering it very, very shortly here as we take, I believe we have Jeff with us. Hello, Jeff.
Yes, Chris. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Yes. Now, I like to talk about the social aspect of what's going on. You were mentioning the Million Man March with Louis Farrakhan and that riot in Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah, and I think it's called the Million More March now.
Yeah,
go
I
ahead.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, I pointed some of this out on the Michael Savage show last night as a caller, and it's good to get on some of these syndicated talk shows to try and push the truth out. And the truth is, these gangbangers and people like Louis Farrakhan, their function is no different than the brown shirts in pre-Nazi Germany. It's to bring down the system. That is a fact, and that's what's happening right now.
Yes.
And you know it's also a fact, too, that Louis Farrakhan went to Libya and received $1 billion from Muammar Gaddafi?
No, I did not know that. How long ago was that?
Oh, that was a long time ago. He did a whole tour in the Middle East, going to all these terrorist countries. I mean,
and how much did he receive from Muammar Gaddafi?
I think it was $1 billion. I mean, it was.
Wow, there's a lot of revenue to do things, huh?
Yeah, it was a significant sum. But you see, this is very dangerous because Louis Farrakhan is nevertheless a very dangerous man, and his message is very toxic.
Well, and this is what was my concern was last week with Dr. Boyd Graves going to this Million More March, and certainly we heard it on our show here that the black population is being targeted for elimination. That's why the creation of AIDS happened. And that could very well be, but it's not gender specific, in my opinion, because a lot of whites have been dying from HIV. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you see, the point is, the blacks are getting a full indoctrination, and the Hispanics are getting a full indoctrination that the white man is killing you. The white
there
man is doing this to you. The white
yes.
man, the white man's raping you. You got to overthrow the white man.
Whitey's bad.
Exactly, and this is classic communist class warfare.
Yes.
Classic, and people don't even realize it. And you know what it is? The liberal left is shutting out the good people like Jesse Lee Peterson, and are shutting out good historical figures like Booker T. Washington, and raising up pseudo communists like Martin Luther King to propagate their garbage. And because these people have the bully pulpit, they're able to manipulate a whole generation of blacks. And you see, New Orleans was a welfare city for all practical purposes.
Uh-huh.
That's why you had what you had, was because of that very fact. And this goes along with sustainable development, because guess what they want to do? They want to put everybody into sections.
Yes.
Of the inner cities, into projects, into these government houses. And you know what? It's no different than when Hitler pushed the Jews out of Poland and sent them off to camps all throughout Germany. No different.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And don't forget Stalin.
Oh, yeah, Stalin, too. Stalin's purges.
He made the entire country a gulag by cutting off the fuel to the trucks so the food wouldn't come in.
Oh yes, no different than New Orleans. You see, there's such a parallel, and sometimes I just feel that people will never wake up. But I tried to call up some of my senators today on this hate bill, because this hate bill is tantamount to communism. So bad things happen, we can't even talk about it.
Right.
So I mean, these people are so devilish. I mean, I don't want to see this country turn to violence, but I was listening to Jack McLam talk about the fact that if this hate bill passes, I mean, he's afraid that things are going to get ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Because people won't be able to talk about it.
Well, the situation with the closing of the borders after all these months of semi-open borders, it's ominous in itself, and I keep referring back to Operation Trojan Horse, which, under the guise of collecting the illegal aliens, they collect the people that are against totalitarianism and communism and communitarianism. And so I haven't found that yet, but I'll try and search it out.
But as far as the borders is concerned, again, the illegals is another version of the brown shirts, along with La Raza. And also, too, as a sidebar, Hitler also used homosexuals as the brown shirts, too. Ernest Röhm, if I'm not mistaken. And all these are just meant to bring down the country, and that's why we got to get back our sanity. Is there a solution, Chris?
Is there a solution if the people on the inside say, we're not going to participate in this any longer? The people on all wars, on all sides of wars, say, we're not going to participate in your war any longer. Yeah, there's a chance. But the people on the inside participating in these events have to say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. And the indoctrination process in communist China since 1949 has been so tremendous. And the purges in communist China still go on. And Tiananmen Square in 1989, it wasn't just Tiananmen Square. All the villages, surrounding villages, uprose. And they were all suppressed, according to China E-Lobby and those people. The point is, the brainwashing, the control, makes people have to participate in these events. And when these events continue to happen, and people get fed up, so what have they been doing? Weather modification, environmental modification. Pakistan receiving a gigantic earthquake. Every time anything happens, everyone that does any research into these events and the InMod Treaty from 1977, they all wonder, was it created or was it natural?
Exactly.
We're stuck until we can expose all this to the degree that our legislators, our congressmen and senators are deluged with phone calls from us saying, look, environmental modification, it's a reality. You people understand this. Why aren't you telling us the reality in place?
Exactly.
Well, we'll move on, Jeff. I appreciate your thoughts.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. Stay with us. And welcome back to the broadcast. AmericanExpose.com is the website. Tremendous information there on a daily basis, apparently, almost. Fabulous information on our website, AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K, not a C. We'll be getting into that as we can today. Let's go to Roger. Hello, Roger.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. And my kudos to Jeff for war waging beyond the choir. And I do mean even with Savage. I guess maybe Farrakhan is a relatively safe topic, though,
well,
to beat up on. Hey,
he's a militant.
Yeah, and good point you made. Yeah, I wish I just had two or three Jeffs locally with his spine to fall back up and front up. Pretty hard to blow your own horn, you know?
Right.
Amidst the belittling ridicule. Hey, but I did call just to bloviate a little on this Harriet Myers nomination, and my apologies in advance if a couple tiny redundancies. I missed too many of your shows lately. It was, I might say, mildly entertaining or not to hear Ann Coulter on Drudge on Sunday night, stepping off the reservation of unalloyed Bush's good universalist. I mean, they all have minor quibbles of no great moment, of course, but for anything substantive, which the Harriet thing is a little more substantive, you know, they're usually lockstep in line. I don't know. I say it might be mildly amusing. I don't know if she's just trying to rescue for an image. Perhaps she might see herself being perceived as she is, as a sort of a Republican machine apparatchik.
She's just another one that's going to toe the communitarian line.
Yeah. So, and it was the funny part was when she said about, you know, this Harriet nomination being unreservedly supported. You know, she's all against Harriet. And it was the quote was, "This is the last straw." So the funny part, I'm asking, well, tell us, Anne, when was the first straw? I don't recall ever hearing it. Now,
well, let me ask you something, Roger. How many existentialists does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I give up.
Two, one to screw it in, and one to observe how the light bulb itself symbolizes a single incandescent beacon of subjective reality in a netherworld of endless absurdity reaching out toward a Malden cosmos of nothingness.
So do I really sound like I'm regurgitating the dictionary?
You're very, very intelligent to the point where people aren't understanding you many times.
Well, I don't know.
You need to talk to us on a sixth grade level because that's where our education stopped before we went to college. And most of us didn't go to college, so you've got to realize.
No, I didn't get any of it, what little there is, which isn't much from college, but it was reading Rush Dooney and maybe a little C.S. Lewis and such.
Uh-huh.
That's a real brain stretcher, that stuff.
I know, and sometimes, you know, you've got to talk to people, realize you have a vast listening audience, and you don't want to confuse them.
I have this round with the local talk show guy where, so tell me, I'll call him Bill, because I don't want to give away the shop. So tell me, Bill, you know, he if you'd carry me over, please, he makes cracks about simultaneously that I'm real intelligent and at the same time I'm ridiculous, and he claims he can't understand anything, so I ask him if he ever reads, say, the Wall Street Journal. He says occasionally, and I says, well,
we'll be right back. Stay with us.